Hello.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison.
And how are you, Allison?
Well,
today was a momentous day.
It was. We've done a lot today.
We've done a lot for you, the listeners.
Yeah. We didn't do anything last week, so we
sorry,
doing
guys.
Big this week.
Yes. So, yeah, recently we did Sound of Metal, which is on Patreon right now, and you guys should go watch it because it's on Prime.
It is.
But I think we all know why we're here today.
We're here because it's our 100th episode.
100th episode. Pretty exciting. I'm pumped.
And how do we celebrate?
How did we celebrate? We recorded, and then we spent literally four hours. Watching a movie that has been requested since the beginning of this podcast.
By one specific person.
But I feel like I think everyone can relate to this movie because
Agreed.
Everyone has seen it.
Yeah, that's true.
It was the most successful movie of all time.
Before 2012.
So that's a long time from 1997 to 2012.
Yeah, it is.
That's a long all time right. to be the number one movie.
Obviously, we're doing the Titanic.
Not the Titanic, just Titanic.
Just Titanic.
It was called Planet Ice originally.
Yeah. That's ugly.
That's ugly.
Glad they named it Titanic.
Yes.
Imagine
we have a lot
movie about the real life sinking of the Titanic, but fictionalized, and you call it
Planet Ice. Gross. So let's just talk about this. The budget was $200 million, and it made $2.195 billion.
That is insane. That is insane.
I know. It's crazy. Allison's still kind of crying because it's an emotional film.
I just feel like I've been on a roller coaster.
Yeah, it is a roller coaster because
then we watch this four-hour movie.
That has three different plots.
You know what? Here's the thing. I think that one of the reasons everyone always cries at this movie is truly just because you get worn down.
By the end, it breaks you down.
It doesn't matter how hard your heart is. The movie's been going on for so long, and you're like,
please just end.
No, like it's like end, but you're like it's like it's just taking you from the very moment they meet. It's a roller coaster, and
yes.
it's constantly up and down and up and down.
Yes, yes.
Will they? Won't they? And then when they finally
when they
end,
do,
you're like
oh.
I'm gonna cry because I'm tired. Like my
emotions are tired.
I'm tired.
I am going on this romantic journey with
they
these two incredibly beautiful people.
They make
one of whom is one of the most beautiful people, arguably. Known on the planet.
They mess with your emotions so much that by the time it gets to the really sad stuff,
yeah.
you're just so your emotions are so worn out that you can't help but cry.
It's so true.
You can't hold it back.
This really just breaks you down.
It does.
Emotionally.
It does. I feel like I need a nap.
Yeah, me too. It's exhausting.
This film.
Because, like as I said, it has three different plots.
Yes.
It has the bad one. Which is basically the beginning and the end of the film.
Yeah, it's the old-ass lady that's playing Rose, old. She's 101.
She's 101.
And she is, or almost 101. And she, it's her, she sees that they've recovered some artifacts from the Titanic, and they're hers. So she, you know, basically... That's the one plot.
That's the one plot that we hate. And it's like, it's not even just like boring. It's bad.
It's bad. It's weird.
The acting's bad.
It doesn't fit at all.
It doesn't fit at all because the rest of the movie is really excellent. And like,
they just said,
it's so out of place.
We ran out of good actors.
We ran out of good actors.
Hollywood's out of good actors.
we couldn't find anymore.
We can only use like random people that just graduated from their college acting class now. Like that's all we have. We have a $200 million budget, but we can't hire some better fucking actors. Just the fucking explorer guy.
But I think that Leonardo DiCaprio just has that blinding effect where you just kind of don't care.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when it gets to him, it's like you've forgotten that.
You've forgotten that even exists.
Bad.
Yeah, you're like, oh.
And every time I think about the Titanic, I never think about.
No, I think about, oh, Leo.
Leo. In that hair.
In the hair.
And those eyes.
And those eyes.
And
the skin.
Outfit.
And the outfits. Ugh.
All right.
It's a lot. We watched this first when we were like 12.
Ooh.
And it really makes an impact, guys. I'm going to say, it really if it gets into your formative years, it really...
It just gives you... It's like, I'm 22 and my palms are sweaty
talking about it. Like, literally, I'm sweating talking about Leonardo DiCaprio in this movie.
Yeah, and, like, I'm looking at him right now. You got a picture of him.
Of him now.
Currently. And it's just like, oh, he, you know, oh, he's handsome. But it's like...
But thinking about him then in this movie is like...
What I would have done...
What I would have done for him, like, everything, the way he looks makes everything that Rose does understandable.
Yeah, oh yes, oh yes. Not once do I question why her, what her motives were.
Yeah, I'm like,
I know her motives.
I get it.
And they were good motives.
They were good motives. Pure. I understand it. I would do it.
Okay, let's talk about the
movie. Okay, this is from Wikipedia.
Of course. In 1996, treasure hunter Brock Lovett and team board the research vessel Academic Mislav Keldysh to search the wreck of the RMS Titanic for a necklace with a rare diamond.
Brock Lovett is the worst character in this entire film. And Cal exists.
Yeah, oh my god. The diamond's called the Heart of the Ocean. Liz Brock. Fucking earring boy.
Earring boy.
Oh my god. Why does he sound like he's in an action movie? He's like, I never knew how serious the Titanic was.
Yeah, also, he looks like a literal, like, treasure hunter. That's not how, like, historians who are investigating this look. They look like, what's his name?
Like Milo from Atlantis.
They look like Milo from Atlantis and his assistant.
And his assistant, Lewis, who is carrying that team.
He's carrying that team. He is out-acting everyone in this, like, present day scene.
By far. Just putting them to shame.
Yeah, truly. Like, he should have been Brock Lovett, but we know why. Because James Cameron was basing Brock Lovett off of himself, and he couldn't deal with
a fat person playing him.
No, I think he was basing it off of Brock Lovett. Maybe Brock Lovett's a real person.
Who's Brock Lovett?
No, let's look it up.
He doesn't have a little.
I thought he was basing it off himself.
Brock Lovett.
Oh, there is a comedy Bang Bang.
Real?
No.
No, not real. James Cameron's Titanic Wiki. Portrayed by Bill Paxton.
Oh my god, that's Bill Paxton? I didn't even know. I didn't even put that together.
There's an alternate ending?
Yeah, there's an alternate ending. You didn't know that? We'll talk about that at the end. Anyway, Brock Lovett is not a real person, and I think that James Cameron loves himself so much that he is projecting himself onto Brock Lovett, and he wanted a handsome leading man type to play him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Are you reading the alternate ending?
No, not yet. I'm enjoying Lizzie. I thought it said that while they were celebrating, Rose awoke. I forgot that Rose went to sleep in the movie while everyone else was at a party.
Yeah.
And I thought they were suggesting that Rose, like, was sleepwalking and threw the necklace in the ocean. And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure it was on purpose.
She makes the noise.
She went, which is weird.
Okay, anyway, sorry for that.
Okay, so they recover a safe containing a drawing of a young woman wearing only the necklace.
Wow,
AKA
wow.
The Heart of the Ocean.
She's naked.
Yeah, dated April 14th, 1912, the day the ship struck the iceberg. Rose Dawson Calvert, the woman in the drawing, is brought aboard the Keldysh and tells Lovett of her experiences aboard Titanic. In 1912, Southampton, 17-year-old Rose DeWitt, Bucater, her fiancé Cal Hockley, and her mother, Ruth, board the luxurious Titanic.
It's like
the music in this, it's all so iconic.
It is.
Almost funny.
It's almost funny, yeah.
Ruth emphasizes that Rose's marriage will resolve their family's financial problems and allow them to retain their upper-class status. Mm. Distraught over the engagement, Rose climbs over the stern and contemplates suicide. But Jack Dawson, a poor artist, intervenes and discourages her.
Who won a ticket on the Titanic in a poker game.
Yes, and also, this is so charming.
Yes, okay, so 1997, Leonardo DiCaprio.
You've seen him. You know what we're talking
about. And as soon as he comes onto the screen, everything else is forgotten for me.
And he's walking up and he's like, don't do it. And she's like, don't come any closer. And then he's talking and he talks her down in the most charming way. You're like, I didn't know that talking someone out of suicide could be hot.
It could be this hot, yeah, exactly. But I was wrong. We were thinking, we're like, wow, I would like, if a guy that looked like that was talking to me like he talks to her, I'd be like, yeah.
I won't jump. I'm not jumping. Who's jumping? Not me. I wasn't going to do that. Oof. Now I'm fuzzy. Anyway.
He makes us act up, guys. You're going to have to get through this with us.
Discovered with Jack, Rose tells a concerned Cal that she was peering over the edge and Jack saved her from falling, which is hilarious because he's getting arrested for a really long time and Rose doesn't say anything. Or maybe she tried and they wouldn't listen.
Yeah, because she's a woman.
That's a theme in this film.
That is also a theme in this film, yes.
That she loves Jack because Jack treats her like a person, not a woman.
Yeah. Not like an object.
Yeah. So, Cal becomes indifferent and it is suggested to him that Jack might be rewarded. He invites Jack to dine with them in first class. Jack and Rose develop a tentative friendship, although it's hard to ever call what they have a friendship.
Yeah, because, it's
pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly, they're immediately attracted to each other.
I mean, yeah, they were, you saw them look at each other. Despite Cal, his valets, Spicer Lovejoy, and Ruth being wary of him. Following dinner, Rose secretly joins Jack at a party in third class. Aware of Cal and Ruth's disapproval, Rose rebuffs Jax's advance, but later realizes she prefers him over Cal. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the party's really fun. It's really good scene where they dance.
Yeah, imagine, as fast as we're going through this, imagine all of this takes 30 minutes.
Yeah, imagine this all taking unnecessarily long, especially the beginning part. I don't know if it just felt long.
Oh, it's long.
It's too long.
It's gotta be 20 minutes at least.
It's a long time. At least 20 minutes.
And that's me being generous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like a good half hour of that.
Yeah. So, after rendezvousing on the bow at sunset, Rose takes Jack to her stateroom at her request. Jack sketches Rose posing nude, wearing Cal's engagement present, the Heart of the Ocean. Hilarious.
Hilarious.
They evade Lovejoy and have sex in an automobile inside the cargo hold.
Which is something that I will think of any time that anyone references this movie ever.
It's
burned
so
into
hot.
It's burned into my mind.
It's so hot.
It's so hot. It's crazy. It's insane. It's wild that that was even allowed.
It feels like porn.
It's not,
but it feels like you're like, I'm blushing.
I'm blushing.
And nothing even happened.
My hands are getting sweaty talking about it.
You don't even really see her boobs.
No, you don't.
You don't. You only see them when she's posing.
Yeah.
And in the drawing.
Oh my God. But like, and they just showed like the next up and during the like quote unquote sex scene.
That's all you need
to see. It's like their post-coital scene. It's like,
it's all you need to see.
It's all you need to see. Wow.
Her hand on that window.
Oh my God.
That
foggy ass window.
Also, I love the way the hand stares. They're like, that wouldn't happen.
So true.
Okay. Whoa.
We need to.
On the forward deck. We need water. On the forward deck, they witness the ship's collision with an iceberg and overhear its officers and builder discussing its seriousness. Cal discovers Jack's sketch of Rose and an insulting note from her in the safe placed along with the necklace.
Yeah, she's like, now you can keep us both in your safe.
Yeah. When Jack and Rose attempt to inform Cal of the collision, Cal retaliates by having Lovejoy slip the necklace into Jack's pocket, accusing him of theft. Jack is arrested and restrained in the master-at-arms office. Cal puts the necklace in his own coat pocket. So that's where the, if you're watching this on discs, the first disc.
Yes, stops. That's where the first disc stops.
So that's half the movie is now over. That's been 2 hours.
That's half.
And that's where we're ending. Jack is
in the cargo hold,
being held prisoner.
Yep.
And Rose is upset. She thinks he might have stole the necklace.
But they're in the process of getting ready to get on the lifeboats.
Yes. And the ship's going down.
It's going down.
Fast. With the ship sinking, Rose flees Cal's and her mother, who has boarded a lifeboat, and frees Jack.
It's a pretty badass scene. She, like, spits at him in the face.
Yeah, and she's gotta get this hatchet to cut Jack.
And then she closes her eyes, and it's...
You're like, why?
Why?
On the boat deck, Cal and Jack encourage her to board a lifeboat. While intending to save only himself, Cal claims he can ensure he and Jack get off safely. As her lifeboat lowers, Rose realizes she cannot leave Jack and jumps back on board.
And that's when I cry for the first time.
Yes.
This is when we were thinking about, like, this is truly, like, one of the greatest love stories ever told.
It's so good.
It's so romantic. Like, I just don't know how you can deny that it's romantic.
It's so romantic.
It is. And it's like, I mean, they look like the way they do. So.
You know, it's just so sad, though, because if she had gone, I feel like he would have lived.
I feel like he would have lived, too. He could have, like, I feel like he would have survived.
You know, if I wanted to cut a whole hour out of this movie, here's what I would do.
Mm.
She gets on the boat and she goes. And then there's a time where she gets really sad and you do a time skip and she can't find him and you think he died because there's no record of him on the Titanic. Mm-hmm. So there's no way for her to check. And she can't look him up because he's poor and he doesn't, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so so she waits for him for, like, years and years, and she can never find him. And the very end of the movie, he finds her. And he's been looking for her the whole time.
Wow.
Romantic movie that ends happy and just saved you an hour of your life. So there you go.
There you go. Allison, just fixed your movie.
Yeah, fixed your movie. Made it happy. Fixed your movie. Easy. Made it 3 hours instead of four. You're welcome. So Cal takes Lovejoy's pistol and chases Rose and Jack into the flooding first-class dining saloon.
Yeah, he, like, literally is trying to murder them.
Oh, yeah. After using up all his ammunition, he relents. Cal realizes he gave his coat and consequently the necklace to Rose.
Classic blunders.
He later boards a lifeboat by carrying a lost child.
I have a child!
I have a child! I have a child!
Iconic line.
After braving several obstacles, Jack and Rose return to the boat deck. The lifeboats have departed and passengers are falling to their deaths as the sterns rise out of the water. When the ship breaks in half, dropping the stern into the water, Jack and Rose climb onto the back of it and ride it into the ocean. He helps her on, Jack, this is he, mm-hmm. Jack, helps her onto a wooden panel buoyant enough for only one person.
Well, they say that.
Yeah. He assures her that she will die an old woman, warm in her bed. Jack dies of hypothermia.
Pretty sad.
Pretty sad. But Rose is saved by a returning lifeboat. The RMS Carpathia later rescues the survivors on board. On board, Rose hides from Cal en route to New York City, where she gives her name as Rose Dawson.
Ah! Gets me every time whenever she says that, guys.
I know. Rose later says that she read Cal committed suicide after losing his fortune in the Wall Street crash of 1929. Back in the present, Lovett decides to abandon his search after hearing Rose's story. Alone on the stern of Keldysh, which is really weird that he abandons it because, like, there's still a ton of money in the Titanic.
Yeah.
Like, in other artifacts, which you have the stuff to get.
Yeah, you have just a ton of artifacts. Just
because you can't find the one fucking
thing you want doesn't mean it's not valuable. Very weird.
Very weird. I mean, it's super valuable, right? Like, it's, like, the most valuable gem in the world or whatever.
Yeah.
This whatever. But it's also, like, who gives a shit? Okay. Anyway, alone on the stern, Rose takes out the heart of the ocean, which was in her possession all along.
The whole time!
And drops it into the sea over the wreck site. While she is seemingly asleep, or is dying in her bed.
I was wondering how they were going to address that.
So she's either asleep or she's dead.
Which is true.
Photos of her dresser depict a life of freedom and adventure.
She kept her promise to Jack that she would live and survive.
And have kids, and she did it all. A young Rose reunites with Jack at Titanic's Grand Staircase, applauded by all those who died on the ship.
Which I think confirms that she died.
I think, yeah, the fact that nobody else is there.
Yeah, I mean, it's really romantic, though.
It is.
I just, like, hate every scene that's with the old lady and the, like, the ship.
I know.
I hate it. I wish it wasn't there.
It's literally so bad. Everyone in it is a bad actor. The writing is terrible. The tone is so off. It's so ugly. It's so clear they just put it in because they were like, we went to the Titanic and got a bunch of footage and we really want to put it in.
Ugh.
The only scene that, like, is worth anything is when they have the Titanic wreckage and then it's, like, right after she's dead and she's going into heaven or whatever. And it goes through and it's all fucking underwater and then it, like, slowly transitions into being
The Titanic from the movie.
That's really cool, but you kind of could have just done that.
You kind of could have just done that, but whatever.
So sad. And also it's so sad that, like, Jack waits for her in heaven forever.
And isn't it weird that heaven is the Titanic?
Yeah, is that where we all go? Or is that, like, her particular heaven? Is Jack even there?
Well, we were talking about how, like...
Is Jack even there? Is it just in her mind?
If the idea of heaven is that you get to be young forever and bone a 20-year-old Leonardo DiCaprio for the rest of your life, I'm interested.
I'd sign up.
Mark me as interested on that Facebook page.
Yeah, literally. Woo! Oh, my God. So, this Wikipedia, long, it talks about all the different people.
Yes.
And how they were decided, like, get this, established actors like Matthew McConaughey. Chris O'Donnell, Billy Crudup, whoever that is, and Stephen Dorff were all considered. Wow. But Cameron felt they were too old. Tom Cruise was interested, but his asking price was too high.
Andy was too short.
Jared Leto was considered.
Ew!
But then Leto refused to audition. Hilarious. Let's see. Jeremy Sisto? I've never heard of that person.
He was in Clueless.
Oh. Did a series of screen tests. Who was he?
I don't know.
Was he, his name. Elton. I have to sneeze.
Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you. Apparently, Leonardo DiCaprio didn't want to be in it originally.
Uh-huh.
But then he read it, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess his house was Titanic-themed for a while. He had a bunch of, like, Titanic memorabilia.
Wait, Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah. Like, in his 20s, he had,
you
like...
You know, he was 20.
He was in his... it was, like, right after, in his 20s, he had, like, a Titanic memorabilia-themed house. I guess he would give, like, things to people. Like,
did you know there actually was a Jay Dawson on the Titanic?
Yeah.
But they didn't know that when they made it. They just
interesting.
Got lucky. Very, very interesting. Yeah, you already said that these are all the people who were, like, considered for Kate Winslet's part.
Gwyneth Paltrow, Winona Ryder, Claire Danes, Gabrielle Anwar, and Reese Witherspoon. Wow. I'm so glad that it's Leonardo.
They all turned it down.
Wow. Guys, I mean, thank you from us, the viewers, because I don't know if I could have done without Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Literally so good.
They're, like, it's just so romantic.
Oh, this is cute. After Kate Winslet screen tested with DiCaprio, Winslet was so thoroughly impressed with him that she whispered to Cameron, "He's great. Even if you don't pick me, pick him."
Oh!
Winslet sent Cameron a single rose with a card that signed, "From your rose," and lobbied him by the phone. "You don't understand," she pleaded one day, and then she whispered to, when she reached my mobile phone in his Humvee, "I am Rose. I don't even know why you're seeing anyone else." Her persistence as well as her talent convinced him to cast her in the role. Very cute.
Wow. Very
Rob
cool.
Rob Lowe apparently pursued the Cal Hockley role, and it was originally offered to Matthew McConaughey.
Wow.
Very fun.
I guess on the set of Titanic, Leonardo DiCaprio's pet lizard was run over by a truck, but with some TLC, Leo nursed him back to health.
Aww, that's so sad.
On the final night of shooting in Nova Scotia, one or more pranksters mixed PCP, angel dust, into the clam chowder served to the cast and the crew, and 80 people were sent to the hospital with hallucinations.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Yeah. That's a prank.
Yeah. What the fuck?
You drugged 80 people with PCP?
What the hell?
That's the shit that makes people bite faces off.
Yeah, it is. Jesus.
Oh my god.
Reba McEntire was offered and had accepted the role of Molly Brown, but due to the later scheduling conflicts, she had to turn it down.
That's always a shame when it's like people are like, "Oh, I can't be in this thing because I have to be in this dumbass network television show."
Yeah. Kate Winslet was one of the few actors who didn't want to wear a wetsuit during the water scenes, and as a result, she got pneumonia. The cost to construct the Titanic in 1910 to 1912 was $7.5 million, which was about $120 to $150 million in 1997 dollars, and the movie cost $200 million to make.
Yeah, but that's not even... Yeah. I thought they rebuilt the Titanic.
Yeah. Titanic was the first film to be released on video while it was still being shown in theaters.
Whoa, that's cool.
Old Rose in the movie owns a Pomeranian. A Pomeranian was one of only three dogs known to have survived the disaster.
Her dog.
Pups. James Cameron drew all the pictures in Jack's sketchbook.
I don't think I like James Cameron.
Jack, this is exquisite work.
I don't know anything. And remember what I said? They're really not that good.
I know, they're really not that good.
Also, James... Oh my god. What does James Cameron look like? Does he have an earring?
No, he doesn't. I'll show you what he looks like.
I just think that I don't like him.
I don't like James Cameron. Listen, he was married to Kathryn Bigelow, who was the first woman to ever win Best Director at the Oscars, and she beat him that year.
Of Titanic?
No, of Avatar.
Oh, was he?
She won Best Picture, or Best Director.
That's funny.
Let's see.
He just looks like a normie.
He just looks like an old guy, yeah. The elderly couple seen hugging on the bed while the water floods at their room are the owners of the Macy's department store in New York, Ida and Isidore Strauss, both of whom died on the Titanic.
Wait, so that's what they're playing?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying the actual owners of the New York.
No.
I was like, that's crazy. That's crazy. Why did they want to do that?
No, they both were on the ship and they died together there.
Aww.
After filming, the remains of the ship were sold as scrap metal. Gwyneth Paltrow was up for the role of Rose. We talked about that. After finding out that she was going to be naked in front of Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Winslet decided to break the ice by flashing him the first time they met.
Good job, Kate. You know, it seems like the reason Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet get along so well is they seem like they're both just fucking goofballs.
Goofballs, yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio would, like, fart in his jacket and, like, put it over her face and stuff while shooting.
It seems like they're just total
goofballs. The goofballs, yeah. I guess she, like... told him to come into her dressing room, and she was having her makeup done, and she was just, like, topless, and she was like, come talk to me. And he was like, whoa.
Buddy,
you're gonna have to look at me all day.
If I had to be in front of Leonardo DiCaprio naked, I'm scared by the thought. I'm literally scared by the thought. I don't even want to think about it. I would be like, I need a personal trainer right fucking now. Right fucking now. Oh my god.
They were drinking root beer in the beer scenes.
Aw.
Isn't that cute?
She doesn't even... No, they're both old enough to drink. That they would ever drink in real life on a set, but...
Robert De Niro was offered the role of Captain Smith, but turned it down due to a gastrointestinal infection that he had at the time.
Okay. A long one, I guess.
A long one, I guess.
Not a fast recovery, I suppose.
The stuntmen in the engine room scenes were only about 5 feet tall to make the engine room look bigger.
That makes sense.
The film was originally called Planet Ice.
Bizarro. That's a bizarro fact.
James Cameron spent more time with the ship than its living passengers did. That's like a trivia item on here. I hate that. The piece of wood.
That's so mean.
I know.
Who wrote that?
A BuzzFeed writer.
Okay, BuzzFeed. We're really struggling for some content, aren't we?
The piece of wooden paneling that Rose floated on after the sinking is based upon a genuine artifact that survived the sinking and is on display at the Maritime Museum of the Atlantic in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Hmm.
When Jack is preparing to draw Rose, he tells her to lie on the bed. The couch. The line was scripted, lie on that couch, but DiCaprio made a mistake and James Cameron liked it so much that he kept it.
So cute.
Because he was nervous.
I would be nervous, too. You're literally Leonardo DiCaprio. You're 22 years old. This is, like, your second big movie you've done ever. Kate Winslet's here. I don't know if Kate Winslet was really famous at this time, but she's so pretty, and you have to pretend to draw her,
and you're, like, you're pretending to be madly in love with each other.
And you're like, I'd be peeing my pants.
Me, too. Paramount had to send out replacement reels because theaters literally wore out their copies, which is pretty cool. Titanic was the first film James Cameron ever directed that did not include or mention nuclear weapons.
Yeah, hell yeah. Good for him.
Good for him for making a movie without nuclear weapons.
No nuclear weapons, but I'm going to make the greatest love story of all time. I think I'll just do that today.
But the greatest love story of all time only makes up about...
One-third.
About one-third of the film. It makes up about, like, an hour and a half of the film.
Yeah. Yep. Yes.
The rest of it is, like, either... just a bunch of people on Titanic dying, or this shitty prequel
thing
that happens in the beginning is very strange.
Okay, that's awful. Let's just raise the thirds. The prequel thingy, terrible.
Terrible, awful, just horrible. Zero. Bad, zero.
Literally should not be in the movie.
Should not be in the movie at all.
Save me a whole hour.
Yeah.
Second, The love story.
10 out of 10.
Amazing.
Amazing.
So hot.
Couldn't have been done better. Cannot emphasize enough how hot it is.
Cannot emphasize enough how it makes me feel. And then the people dying. Sad.
Sad. It's effective. It's
really effective. There are some dumb parts in it.
Yeah.
Sometimes the CGI looks wacko.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes they say really cheesy things.
I don't like that Jack dies. That makes me sad.
It makes me very sad because I think he could have lived.
So, 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. And, yeah, definitely. It definitely gets,
He could have lived longer.
He could have lived longer. I definitely think that this movie, I would give it an 8 out of 10. But the love story, just, like, the whole Jack and Rose storyline gets a 10 out of 10 for me.
It's so cute.
It's so romantic. It's literally so romantic. Yes. I was like, you want to hate it, but then you're like, oh,
also,
my God.
Let's just look at some of his best outfits.
Oh, my God, the fits. The corduroy pants. Jack Dawson, best outfits. Oh, man.
Here we go.
Wow. The suspenders.
Yeah. Okay, so this one is, it's like a white shirt with like, it's like linen. It's got like nice sort of like, not billowy, but like loose sleeves,
mm-hmm.
button up, no collar. So the collarbone peaks through
peaks
perfectly.
Through perfectly, and he has a great collarbone, great jawline,
yes,
and great cheekbones.
And then you've got the suspenders, very nice.
Very nice.
Really keeps the shirt looking good on him.
Yes.
And then the little, like the workers' khakis. Very good look. What is stopping boys from dressing like this?
I don't
right
understand.
Now?
It's so hot.
Let's talk about Jack in this suit.
And the suit, it's great. Also, I love it, especially when they go down to steerage and his hair like gets messed up. Oh my
and
God.
He's got the jacket
he's
off.
He's got the jacket off.
Very
wow.
Nice.
And the, oh my God. It's just, I could watch Leonardo DiCaprio in this movie forever and I think I'd be okay.
Oh yeah. Oh,
no
yeah.
other parts of the movie. Just like, wow. Just wow.
You know, Leonardo DiCaprio though, like, he doesn't really look that different. Like,
no, not really.
Now. Like, he looks older, obviously.
Like,
but
still,
there's something about this that...
This 1997 Leonardo DiCaprio that really just...
something about a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his little attitude.
Yeah.
It's hotter than anything I've ever seen him done since. And
definitely.
He's still attractive.
Oh, I would definitely still, like,
this movie,
be very sweaty if I met him.
This movie, though, in particular, really.
I know that he was the sexual awakening of so many people that I know personally in this film.
Look at that outfit. He's wet.
Wow.
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 Okay, also, we gotta talk about how good Kate Winslet looks in this
movie. Oh my God,
movie.
She's beautiful. The makeup is gorgeous and the costuming is great.
Yes, she looks amazing. She's literally...
They have incredible chemistry.
Her boobs?
Oh my God.
Amazing!
Amazing.
Let's see.
Her heaving bosom when
oh,
she's trying to kill herself.
We've got... what do you think is her best outfit?
Ooh, I like the robe.
The robe is good.
During the sex scene.
Or like before the sex scene.
And I like the survival dress.
The survival dress is really nice.
Yeah.
I definitely like her flowy dresses better
than
her little structured
ones. Me too.
Ones.
I love the robe, though. I was like, wow, incredible.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. It's so wild. So this movie, like, was nominated for so many Oscars, mostly technical awards. Like, it won Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay, all that. But Leonardo DiCaprio was not nominated for Best Actor. Mm-hmm. But Kate Winslet and the old lady were both nominated for Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress, respectively.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
AFI's top 100 thrilling films, their top 100 love stories, the song
My Heart Will Go On
is in the top 100 songs in American cinema.
It's interesting that memes have ruined that song for so many people.
I know. It was also in... their top 10 in 2008 or something.
Wow. It's a great movie, aside from the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And
They also did a re-release of this in 3D, which is sad.
Yeah, so that people could see the 3D titties.
Yeah, that's sad. That's like
not
good.
Not good.
Ooh, boy.
Ooh, doggy.
Ooh, doggy. This is a one good movie.
Yeah,
Was this real?
It really just What? Oh, it was. Was it real? It was a Russian scientific research vessel.
The vessel ship that they searched on was real.
Wow.
Huh. And then. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. Three of the voyages that were on this ship have been led by James Cameron.
Ah! There's a South Park episode about that.
Very weird.
Very strange. He's a weird guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet are wonderful, and they make this movie. And I think it's interesting that Leonardo DiCaprio didn't get a nomination for a movie that he was one of the two reasons that it was even successful in the first place.
Also, let's be real. Kate Winslet, you did a great job.
You did an amazing job, honey.
But you did not do for this movie what Leonardo DiCaprio did for this movie.
Every time he's on screen, you can't.
And I know it's just because he's hot.
I know that.
I know it's just because he's hot. And he's charming. Listen, there is something about poor New York men in the early 1900s.
Yeah, someone who's going to start a union is
that
like, ooh.
Gets women going. I don't know what you want.
I don't know. It's like, get up and do it.
Christian Bale and Newsies. I don't know,
guys. It really gets me.
That's why Newsies fan fiction is so popular. Because it's like, what do women love more than a guy starting a union?
Than a guy starting a union.
And he just wants to go back to New York. And I just want to go back to New York with him.
Me too!
I want him to see New York.
Yes, man.
He's a scrappy guy! He's a survivor.
I want him to wear that, like, you know, that hat. I want him to wear the suspenders.
And the little vest.
I wanted to see him running around New York with his little hijinks, but no!
He had to die on the RMS Titanic.
Ugh.
What's even funnier about this movie is I feel like the point of the movie was to be like, the Titanic
was a tragedy. It was a tragedy.
And instead, now the Titanic is like the funniest tragedy that's ever happened in the world.
Because of this movie. Yeah. Everyone has memed this tragedy because of this film.
This is like, okay, this is a great time to tell, and I cannot
separate my sexual attraction from the tragedy of Titanic because Leonardo DiCaprio is forever in the mix for me.
I know. It's like you go to the Titanic Museum and you're like, this is the room Leonardo DiCaprio walked in that scene.
And you're like, oh.
Not the real Titanic. Also, let's talk about my high school senior prom.
Oh my God, let's talk about that.
This is a great time to tell this story.
It is a great time.
So when I was in high school, my senior prom's theme was My Heart Will Go On. Yes, the Celine Dion song.
They played it four times
at the prom. But that's not what's fucked up. Okay, here's what's fucked up.
Here's what's fucked up about it.
So my prom had two photo booths. There was one photo booth that you could like take yourself, and then there was one photo booth that you like had a professional photographer at. So the first one was the grand staircase from the movie Titanic, but you know, that was also on the actual Titanic,
yeah.
Except it was half sunk into the water. They built it to look like it was like tilted.
Oh no! Yes. That's so offensive!
So you could stand on the half sunk stairs of the grand staircase and get your photo taken.
Oh no!
Or the second option, here's the second option. A lifeboat.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the second option to take pictures was on a lifeboat with a little lantern on the front and the oars. And then it was all green, so they'd make it look like you were, like, in the water.
That is so fucked up.
I know. People died. Like a thousand people died. Yeah, like, let's just look at the actual death
toll. And your high school was like, this is a good idea.
Let's look at the death toll of Titanic. 700 fatalities. No. 1,500. Why does it say 700? Okay. 1,500 people died.
700 crew members died.
Oh, 700 of the 1,500 that died were crew members.
Yeah.
So, less passengers than...
But then most everyone else was a poor person.
Yeah. Pretty much. Except for there were a few famous people that died. Like, let's see. John Jacob Astor, the millionaire that they talk about in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, yep.
He died. He was clinging to the side of a raft, but couldn't get on. It's a lot of men, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Archibald Grace, the fourth. He was a historian. He died. W.T. Stead, a journalist. So these people are that thing. Noelle Leslie, a countess, which I think they talk about her also. Mm-hmm. Thomas Andrews, the architect. We know
who's played by the professor from Legally Blonde.
Yeah, Callahan. Margaret Brown, she was a socialite. John Thayer. Oh, these are people who were on it, but not necessarily all died.
Yeah.
J. Bruce Ismay, the White Star executive.
The guy who, snuck onto the boat. Yeah.
And then, like you said, Isidore Strauss, co-owner of Macy, and his wife, Ida, they died.
Mm-hmm.
But he, wouldn't get on a board. He said they tried to get him on a board, raft, but he said he wouldn't until every woman and children had gotten off the ship. And then Ida wouldn't go because he wouldn't go.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. And then Ida ordered her maid to board the lifeboat, gave her a coat, gave her a mink coat, quipping she would not need the garment anymore.
Aww.
And then Isidore's body was recovered, but Ida was never found.
Wow.
Just some more fashion designers. Benjamin Guggenheim died. That guy.
Mining.
Yeah, mining. An actress survived. There's a lot of famous people on this.
It was a big deal.
George Dennis Wick. It's some railroad executive. Interesting. Henry B. Harris, a Broadway producer. Mm-hmm. A lot of writers,
mm-hmm.
artists, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of men, mostly men. A lot of the women, famous women, survived, because obviously.
Wow. This, one of the greatest love stories ever told.
My school.
Your school is so fucked.
I know. It's so sad, too, because, like, I'm pretty sure I got one picture on the little steps,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think it was good, or I didn't take it, maybe, because I don't know where it is. I didn't get one on the lifeboat, because I went to go get one. I don't think I had a date. I did, it was a girl, mm-hmm. but we weren't really dating, but we went to go take a picture on the boat, but the photographer was gone.
Oh, no.
I know, tragic.
That could have been a great anecdote.
I know. We should have just taken the picture, like, in the dark with the flash. But it probably looked like shit, so we probably didn't keep it. I know I definitely did get in the boat, because I remember being like, this is kind of fucked up. Even back then, I was like, this is kind of fucked up. I don't know about this. I was like, a whole committee of people put this together.
Like, 1,500 people guys, died.
9/11 theme prom.
Honestly, though.
Bush and 9/11 prom.
That's, like, exactly what they're doing.
The Twin Towers hole. The Twin Towers after they've been crashing into.
Oh my god, that is so... What if that happens, though? I mean, it happened with the Titanic.
Maybe. If someone makes... I mean, they did make Remember Me.
Oh my god, they did make Remember Me. But
Remember Me wasn't good enough...
to have, like, this amount of star power.
To be fair, though, you know, if you give it another 70 years, somebody might be like, we have to make a movie about 9/11, because 9/11, like, changed the game, and it has to be a romance movie.
They did it with Titanic.
I'm not counting it out. And they did it many years after Titanic, so I might be dead when that movie comes out, but...
It might happen.
I bet it will happen.
I bet it will happen. Listen,
we already have a 9/11 romance movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
It's a secret one.
Not great. It is a secret one, because they don't tell you till...
The very end.
The very end. See, what they didn't do is make it 8 hours long. It could be an office romance workplace.
Oh my god.
It could be an office romance comedy. But then it's 9/11.
Yeah. Titanic. I am not saying it won't happen, because literally we're talking about a movie that is one of the best movies of all time. And it's literally about
The Titanic,
which is a tragedy.
Yeah, sad. I mean, this is a sad movie.
Yeah.
So it could be, but
it could be a tragic.
But here's the problem. Like, this is a really easy setup. It's like first class, third class. Like, a lot of people died because they were poor. It's like, oh, so easy. This is like the literal definition of class struggle, and that's like makes for a really compelling movie, as it has for many years. But then you've got, like, what's compelling about what the World Trade Center was?
Yeah.
It's just an office building. How are you going to be like tragic office romance setting? It's like, it doesn't work.
James Cameron could do it if he lives much longer.
Here's how they did it in Remember Me. They just ignored the fact
that it was 9/11 until 5 minutes before the movie ended.
And then he's like calling her and he's like, I love you. And she's like, what? What's happening? I've never heard of terrorists. And now every time she has to take off her shoes in an airport, she thinks of him.
Yep. And that's Remember Me.
And that's Remember Me. We don't need to cover it now. I've done it
because
for you.
We did it.
I've done it for you. Cover success.
That's the, guys, if you don't, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's the Robert Pattinson Secret 9/11 movie.
Yeah.
Which you guys know, it's fine.
It's good. You should watch it. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it because it's a wild concept.
It's a wild concept indeed. They also made the World Trade Center movie with Nick Cage, where he's the firefighter.
I haven't seen that.
It's not
there's
good.
There's a lot of 9/11 movies, I think.
It's not good.
All 9/11.
We need to watch, speaking of 9/11, we need to watch King of Staten Island.
Yeah, we do. Most 9/11 movies are really bad because 9/11 was kind of our fault.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, like, make a 9/11 film that isn't super pro-Iraq war. And
the Iraq war was not good.
And movies that do that are never good because they're just
Because the Iraq war was not good.
They're just like pro-war propaganda.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what all war movies are in America, at least. We've talked about this.
It's true.
Yeah, I don't know if that could be done just because it's so political.
Yeah, James Cameron, maybe it could one day, but not right now. James Cameron wasn't paid off by Big Titanic, so that's why this movie's good. Big Titanic's like a oxymoron.
Yeah,
it's redundant, right. Is what it is. Not oxymoron, it's redundant.
Oh, man.
This movie's good.
So, yeah, we gave it an 8 out of 10, 2 stars docked because of that bullshit beginning and end sequence.
It's an hour. It deserves 2 stars.
It deserves 2 stars. It's an hour of my life that you took away from me with this shit.
Yeah.
I just want to watch Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. I have to wait that long to get there?
If I went to the movie theater to see this movie thinking, oh my god, Leonardo DiCaprio is going to be in this, I'm so excited, and then I have to watch 45 minutes
of bad old lady acting
until I get to him?
Yeah.
I would have left.
I know. The way that this is my favorite, some of my favorite scenes are though with the old lady, and she's like upset, and they're like, do you want to talk about it? And then she gets really sassy out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, she'll be like, it's been 84 years. Do you want to hear the story or not?
It's so weird.
It's been 84 years since I last saw him. And you're like, okay.
Okay.
She is old, though.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder how old she was.
I don't know.
She won, didn't she?
I don't think so.
Best Supporting Actress, didn't she?
I don't think any actors won. And
was she nominated?
She was nominated, yeah.
Best Supporting Actress, Titanic. No, it didn't win any. So her name was Gloria Stewart. She's definitely dead. 2010. Wow. She's old.
Is she alive?
No, she's dead now. She died in 2010, but look it.
Wow.
She was 100 when she died. Let's see.
When did she die? She 100. Died when she was 100 in 2010.
She was
so she was like 9. She would have been like a little like 80, late 80s.
Late 80s when this happened.
Wow.
Or early 90s. She was born in 1910. Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, she was alive. She was the only one on this film who was alive during when Titanic actually sank.
Wow. Look at her. Oh my goodness. She was known for her pre-code films.
Whoa.
What? Nuh-uh. Yo. This lady was like in, like sexy, not like porn, but she was in like films that were like end up getting banned by the Hays Code.
Whoa.
She was in like sexual innuendo, romantic, sexual, like, interracial films, strong female character.
Whoa!
Films, homosexual.
Holy shit, dude!
Whoa!
The old lady from Titanic.
She was doing a lot, Gloria.
Wow.
Gloria. Oh my gosh. She died at 100. That is so insane. She was in theater and then ended up being in the movies.
Wow. And she was an artist.
Yeah, she had an art career. And then she came back, her comeback to Hollywood was Titanic.
That's so wild. And she was nominated for an Oscar for it.
Yeah. And then she was on a bunch of stuff after that. After, that was like her return to film.
Really interesting. That's so cool, though.
Wow, that is cool.
She died in her sleep.
There you go. She won the Outstanding Female Supporting Role in for the Screen Actors Guild.
Wow.
And apparently at the Kansas City Film Critics Circle. Good for her.
Good for her.
Kansas City says yes. She was a co-founding member of the Hollywood Anti-Nazi League, formed in 1936.
What a badass.
And she was an environmentalist.
Wow.
All right.
Okay, Queen.
Okay, Gloria. I didn't really like your performance, but...
But, like, that's awesome.
I get why you got cast.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. You ready for my review?
I am ready for your review.
1 out of 10. Make another Terminator, Jim. I will never understand the common man, and therefore never understand the mass hysteria over this movie.
I will never understand the common man. Okay.
Yeah, see, I don't relate to people. My therapist says it's a problem. But
my therapist says it's a personality disorder, but...
But I more think that I'm right and everyone
else. I think I'm just smarter than everyone else.
I did not care about any of the passengers James Cameron took the time to introduce us to. In fact, we know none of the truly heartbreaking tales of the RMS Titanic. Only the fanciful romantic tale of a spoiled brat and the only American in steerage.
I don't think that's true.
It is frightening to me that America embraced this movie without ever learning one bit of true history about the disaster of the Titanic. 5 will get you 10.
What?
I think he means 5 out of 10. That most Americans believe there is such a jewel as the heart of the ocean. We already know many fools clamored around the graves of anyone known as Jack Dawson. Most offensive, however, are Mr. Cameron's comments at the Oscars without any regard for the 1,523 lives actually lost on the RMS Titanic. Life is not a movie, and love does not conquer all.
I thought this movie did a really good job of showing you how tragic the Titanic was. Made me really sad.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, yes, this movie doesn't... You don't walk away from this movie necessarily being like, wow, the Titanic was a tragedy.
Yeah.
You walk away being like,
oh my god, Jack died!
Yeah. But it's like, it's not like he made it being like, oh, fuck those Titanics.
Like, he obviously, like, took the time to think about it. It's mentioned several times in the movie.
Led a whole ass voyage to the actual Titanic.
Yeah.
Where they recovered actual artifacts.
Yeah.
It. So, you know. Shut up. That's what I'm saying. I like this one. 1 out of 10. This film presents a distortion of the facts.
Mm.
This movie portrays First Officer William Murdoch in a way that is totally contrary to the truth, but instead suits a particular propagandist position. This is both immoral and grossly hurtful to Murdoch's descendants. No wonder the Chinese government recommended this movie to their people.
Whoa.
It amazes me how modern American filmmakers seem to delight in tearing down the society and values they have grown up in. This film is an insult to all of these passengers and crew who showed such tremendous courage in the face of horrific death. It was in reality not two 90s style teenagers who were the heroes of the Titanic. Nobody said they were the heroes of the Titanic. Also, this person is clearly a descendant of William Murdoch.
Yes. Yes. Wow.
This really hurts Murdoch's descendants. How the fuck would anyone know who Murdoch's descendants are?
This movie is about two fictional people. It's not about them being the heroes of the Titanic.
It's about their love story.
It's about their love story and about him dying. So
they don't save anyone.
No.
So
he dies. Yes. She almost dies.
They don't even save themselves.
Yeah.
The heroes of the Titanic, bitch.
That's not at all what anyone got from this movie.
No.
Ugh. Anyway, happy 100th episode, everyone.
Yay!
We're not sure what we're doing next week, but we are going to be doing Minari coming up soon because it's the last Oscar movie that I'm interested in watching, and I refuse to watch Mank and The Father. So.
Yeah, I've seen Mank. It's not good.
We're not doing it.
All right.
All right, guys. Thank you. Bye! Bye.